Welcome to episode 390 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 13th of August 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone or Android app. Support us at Patreon at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Brad, Jacob, and myself, Daryl, and our very special guest is the Vinyl Guide. And an extra little layer today, we'd like to also thank the following people who have donated to Patreon or have created a pledge in Patreon. And $2 from myself, so I feel a little bit embarrassed about shouting out to myself. But anyway, $2 Patreon from Andrew Cunningham. Sean Sieg is another $2. And Jacob Jones and Betty Jones have given $4, a pledge $4. So thank you all very much to that. It's a new Patreon account that Brad just set up this week. So thank you to all those Patreons.
Hi, this is Paul Carey from Carey Co. Check out our latest game release, Alley Cats, on iOS and Android. And check out our website at carryco.net. Now I hand you back to Brad and the team at Tech Webcast.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Let's go!
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl. How are you, mate?
Good. And before anything, I have to apologise. I mashed up the patrons. Sean gave $3, and I think I said $2, and I missed out on Nixie, gave a dollar. So and, my apologies.
No problem, mate. No problem. And also a shout out to Andrew Cunningham. He actually pledged $2, and he wants a shout out to his new project, Corners.io.
Fantastic.
So check that website out and that Andrew's working on from Zafo. And it's a great
Zafo.
So yeah, check it out. So how's your week been, Daryl?
Yeah, good. I was in Melbourne on Thursday, just another eye checkup, so that went well. So I was happy. The eye specialist gave me the tick of approval, so I don't have to go back for another month. So that was good. And just a busy week at work. We had a few few video conferencing things that I was involved with, so made it a bit busier at work. But other than that, a good solid week.
Good stuff. What else has been happening during the week? Jacob, how's your week been, mate? And anything happened for you, mate, during the week?
Just a lot of rain.
And I want to mention a record shop that we went to on during the week. Chris from Northside Records in Collingwood. Yes.
And Brad called into the show and actually get me a shout out.
Cool. I saw that floating around. That was great.
Hey. Took him a minute, but they got it to him, and he shouted me out.
Excellent.
Yeah, and you going to play it or not?
You didn't say so.
Oh, well, Ken, if you want to, but it's up to you. So, yeah, shout out to Chris Grill from Northside Records, yeah. Great shop, that shop. I'm not sure if you've been there or not, but it's a great shop. If you're ever in Melbourne, check it out.
You cut it off. You're play talking it. Over it.
I didn't know you were playing it. Go, play it.
We can hear it, yeah.
Sorry?
No, we couldn't hear it.
No, nah, it didn't come through. So we got some dead air instead.
Which needs to be edited out. so anyway, Jake, good on you, mate, for that, and appreciate you trying to play that on the podcast. Let's go to Nate. Welcome, Nate. Welcome to the podcast, mate.
How are you guys? How you doing? I heard Northside Records. My ears perked up. That is a great shop.
It is. Fantastic shop.
The soul of Melbourne.
It is. It is indeed. He also does a great radio show on Triple R on Thursdays from 12 to 2 o'clock. Played some great music on that station.
They know their stuff there.
They do. Have you been there?
Yeah. I've been to a lot of record shops in Melbourne, and Northside is very unique. I think the genre that they handle there, the funk, the soul, the jazz, is really quite. I mean, that's along the lines of the type of music that I really enjoy. So I really like that shop. But they also have a lot of really interesting Afrobeat records, and I don't know if you've ever talked to I think Ethan over there. He does crate digging trips to Africa.
They actually
go to Africa, visit the villages and whatnot, and they bring home, you know, boxes of records to be able to sell at the shop. So it's quite an effort curating that store.
It's unbelievable. And you're actually based in Australia too, Nate?
I am. I'm a bloody Yank, but I've been in Australia now for about 15 years. I'm softening my R's. I'm putting U in all sorts of words like favorite and color. You know, I'm toeing the line.
Good stuff, mate. Which I didn't even know you were from Australia, so that's good to know. Darryl, any questions?
I'm interested because I'm old enough to remember when vinyl was vinyl and there was no other technologies around. And so for me, I've been a bit interested in why vinyl has suddenly made a resurgence. Firstly, why do you think vinyl has made a resurgence? And the second one is, do you think that this resurgence can keep going, or do you think it's a drop in the pan? It'll last a year or two, and then people will move on to something else.
Well, it really depends who you talk to. I think in some cases, vinyl never went away. It's just kind of cycling back, and the people who are really into vinyl, who are passionate about it, really didn't go. They kept collecting. In fact, those are the people who probably have fantastic collections now, because in the nadir of the vinyl life span, or the probably about 10 years ago, they were able to get fantastic records for very, very cheap. So why is vinyl coming back? I think people are we've had a decade or so of MP3s. We've had music getting smaller and smaller and compressed more and more onto our devices. We're listening to music through these crappy earbuds that come with our phones and the iPods. And I think people are ready to kind of get back to the quality of sound, and appreciate the music that is truly there. We're only getting a fraction of it inside the digital experience. And I think there's a lot to be said around the sound quality, obviously, but also the ritual of being able to have a record and to hold something physical. I think people are starting to appreciate that a lot more.
So you think it's like a backlash against, in some ways, against digital streaming, where you don't really own anything, you just own the rights to continue to play something until the service goes out of business or whatever. But yes, it is sort of, people suddenly realize that I would really like a physical copy of something.
Yeah. And I don't know about folks here listening. I don't really feel I own something until I actually have a physical copy of it. If I have the right to do it, like a software license or something like that, in the back of my head, I feel that could go away at any moment. I'm not in control. However, with the record, even a tape or a CD, having the physical copy to me is important. But with the record, it really goes to the quality of the sound, the experience. Now, if you think about it, a record is also really kind of, the whole experience is very mysterious. Here's a technology that was really, it's 100 years old. It was invented by Thomas Edison, right? And you pull this mysterious, weird black circle out of a cardboard sleeve, and you put it on, and you actually hear the physical bumps in the grooves, and it makes this gorgeous sound, and it comes with packages and large pictures. It really is something that is much more of a delight to consume than, you know, thumbing through the iPod and finding some, you know, streaming some Taylor Swift song that's on a server 10,000 miles away.
And the audio quality, or the audio, and that's been, from what I've sort of read, it's been a debating point for a long time, that is that, you know, vinyl, you get a richer sound or something than digital, whether it be on a CD or mm-hmm. a streaming service.
Yeah. I mean, look, I got a theory that is not really backed up by, well, it's backed up by maybe a little science. But when you hear an analog signal, you are hearing the actual smooth sine waves. You're actually hearing the smooth, the air being pushed in smooth patterns. When you hear a CD, it's a digital signal. You're looking at snapshots of it. It's like pictures. It's like pixels of the sound. And your brain has to interpolate the variance in the signal. So I think that there's a lot of very silent processing that goes on inside the brain of someone listening to a CD that isn't necessary when you have vinyl or an analog signal. So, I could listen to records easily, 5 and 6 hours, but there are a lot of CDs that where I only knew the first 5 or 6 songs, and the rest of the CD I didn't know any, because I think at some point the human brain just starts to kind of tune out. And that's my theory anyway on why it's I can listen to vinyl much, much longer than I can a digital source.
It would be interesting to compare, for example, a vinyl record, and then say, for example, the same group or singer being remastered onto a digital one, and mm-hmm. play them both, or listen and see how your ear is it's affected by that. Because you have old groups like Deep Purple and a few of those groups of my vintage that came out on vinyl, and then they've since been remastered for digital, and then of course for the streaming services.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just had, interestingly enough, I don't know, about 2 weeks ago on our podcast, the vinylguide.com podcast, there was an episode where we talked to an audio mastering engineer, a guy named Cameron Henry. He works in the U.S. He remasters all sorts of audio projects. He's done records for the Rolling Stones. He's cut vinyl for a Michael Jackson Thriller reissue. And he works with a ton of bands in Nashville. And he talked about his approach to mastering vinyl and why vinyl is his preferred medium. But he also talked about his approach to CDs, because, he's got to do the whole gamut. And his approach to how audio is consumed in a CD and in streaming services are very different than a vinyl medium. And he goes into the intricacies of it. So if you want to kind of get a little bit nerdy there and understand kind of what how it all comes together from a technological standpoint and from how the music is created, manufactured, which may lead you to conclude some of the differences, that would be an episode I would recommend. Quite honestly, there's a lot of records that I had as a kid. You mentioned Deep Purple. I'm probably a couple years after you. I'm thinking Rush and Iron Maiden. Those records, that music just really came alive on the vinyl format. When CD started coming out, I rushed out and I got those exact same albums on CD, and they sounded horrible. And I started thinking that maybe there was something wrong with the music. Maybe my young mind elevated these bands so high that, my older mind at that given time when CDs came out, I'd just grown past it. That all came back to me. That magic all came back once I got those records back on vinyl. And so there really is the job of a mastering engineer is so important, because that's the final link between what the band recorded and how we consume it. So yeah, that would be an interesting episode if you want to check that out, Darryl.
Yeah, and I mean, live music would be the other thing that would interest me, because I can remember, again, those older bands doing, you know, vinyl of a live, you know, doing a live concert, not concert, but a live, you know, live recording rather than actually doing it in a studio. And I think that's where I used to think vinyl came into its own, was certainly you got that real ambience of actually sitting, you know, listening to them live in some, whether it's some smoky club or some huge stadium.
Oh yeah, I've got some Blue Note records, some original pressings from the 50s and 60s. It sounds like Art Blakey is right next to you. It sounds like the saxophone is right in the room with you, and it really is. Again, down to the person who was mastering the vinyl. The guy who used to do all the jazz records back in the day is a guy named Rudy Van Gelder. And he worked for a lot of jazz labels, primarily Blue Note Records and Impulse Records. And the products that he touched, his stamp is in the Runout Groove, and the records just sound phenomenal. You know, 70 years later, they're a real joy to listen to. So, yeah, again, it's the medium is really a craft that, in the hands of an artisan, just produces masterpieces.
All right, sounds awesome. What sort of equipment do you use, Nate, for your record playing and that sort of thing?
My turntable. That's a very common question I get. I don't have a real high end sophisticated system, but I have good quality units, but I don't go too crazy. See, with audio, there are people who could spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on audio systems. I did a series of videos out of Singapore. I went to this, there's an audio mall in Singapore called the Adelphi Mall. And if you ever go to Singapore, you got to go to this place. It is like five or six floors of high-end audiophile equipment. I did videos of showing some of these $150,000 turntables. We tried on some headphones that were $6,000 for a pair.
Wow.
I mean, people can go absolutely crazy nuts. My advice to people that are getting into vinyl, first off, don't get those Crossley turntables. If a turntable new is less than $200, it's probably garbage, and it's probably going to compromise your
records. I know what that's like, mate. I bought a Jake. When he explained your story to Nate, what happened?
Brad got a crap Sony record player.
It wasn't Sony. It was the other brand. What's the other brand? Audio Technica.
Mm.
Are they a good brand?
They're okay, I guess. I mean, it depends what kind of cartridge you have. Like, you could take an Audio Technica turntable and put an Ortofon cartridge on it, and you'll have a pretty good system. I mean, okay. At the end of the day, a turntable is just a spinning platter, right?
Yeah, right.
But if you get a Crossley, I don't think you can change the cartridge or the tone arm on those. I think those are just kind of built in. They're built to last a year and a half at most and get thrown into a landfill when you're done.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You can tell I'm passionate about this, but I would. So my personal system, I have got a Torrens turntable.
Nice.
I've got a TD240-2. I've had for about 5 years now. I bought that off eBay here in Australia. I got a good deal on that. It's a high end turntable, but you know, if you're patient and you keep an eye out on eBay or Gumtree, good turntables will come along pretty frequently. I got a Sansui receiver. I think I found at a yard sale. And I've got a pair of Orpheus speakers. Oh, this you'll like this. These speakers are probably, they're custom made, handmade in Australia. I think they're in South Australia somewhere. The guy that I bought them from, he loved these speakers, but his girlfriend, soon-to-be wife, was moving in, and she insisted that they go. And so I was more than happy. I said, "Mate, I will give them a good home." And he wasn't even interested so much in the money, so much as that they went to a good home. So I take care of them. So yeah, if you're patient and you keep your eye out, you could piece together a really nice system for not a whole lot of money.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. Jacob, what's your view on all this? Are you into vinyl, mate, or CD collecting, or what?
I'm all CD. Okay. Some vinyl.
Well, you haven't got any vinyl, have you?
I got a record sitting right on my little record player.
Okay. Any questions for Nate?
Well, let's put it this way. Everything has been answered.
Okay.
Well, okay, so I got a question for you, Jacob. So you're in the CD world, and you're listening to, you know, a couple of vinyl nerds having this conversation. Are you kind of thinking, oh, these guys are old fart crazy? Or are you thinking, oh, maybe there's something to be said here?
Cheaper.
Cheaper?
Yes. CDs.
Yeah. 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 Are we making any sort of, are you thinking, oh, maybe to checking out vinyl, or it's just kind of, it's not important to you?
I've literally got a record player sitting right next to my computer.
Hmm.
I think he does want to get into it, Nate. Wants to get into collecting vinyl. But the question.
It's okay. If you want to tell us you think we're crazy, that's fine too. I'm just curious because I know when guys who are into vinyl get together, we start talking this language, and then people who are not into vinyl, they, you know, quite often they'll sit back and roll their eyes and be like, oh, these crazy old farts, what are they talking about?
Well, I've actually taken Jacob around to a few record shops in Melbourne, and he's actually really loved it. And I've actually offered to buy him a record player, and he said, yeah, sure, you know, I'll get into it, but, you know, just buying the records are, you know, a lot of money, aren't they? A lot of money to buy. I reckon
some of them.
Some, yeah.
Some of them. Which, yeah. What's some of your favorite music, Jacob?
I have Deep Purple in my record player right now.
All right. Now, is that an album that you really like, or is there an album out there that you're like, oh, you're curious as to what you hear?
I have it preset to a song on there.
Mm-hmm.
From Deepest Purple. The greatest hits.
He actually wanted me to buy that album on vinyl, but I can't get it anywhere.
No, this is on vinyl, Brad.
Yeah, but I can't get it anywhere in Australia. I've been trying to look for it. I can't get it anywhere.
Deepest Vinyl? Or yeah. Deepest Purple?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. So he was actually requesting me to buy it, so I can't get it anywhere, so yeah.
Okay. So I'll keep my eye out. I see it pretty regularly. It's the greatest hits, right?
That's it, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Do you think that
the guitar on it?
The people that love vinyl, are they new to vinyl? Are they like old vinyl users like myself that, you know, was brought up on vinyl? Or do you find that most of them are from a generation where they've just suddenly rediscovered that there was a thing called vinyl? You know, what's the sort of the mix of people, you think?
I tend to think, and you know, I don't look at all the too much survey data on that. I mean, an interesting thing came up about 3 or 4 days ago, and I had about 30 people send it to me. There was a survey done where they said most vinyl collectors are lonely, sad men. And I can't disagree with it. I don't know how sad or whatever, but I think there's a charm to revisiting that technology. I mean, when I was young, probably, you know, like yourself, Daryl, records were the primary format, and getting a new record was like, wow, okay, I have something to do this week. I have to absorb this. It was a joy to be able to get something, and you really look forward to it, and you built up these collections. And what's really interesting is vinyl, it used to, you know, and starting to now again, but back in the day, you'd go visit someone, you go over to their house, and in the corner they would have these vinyl records, and you could kind of look through them, you could paw through them, and you could tell a lot about the person by the art they collect, right? And so, there was that commonality, that shared experience. Oh, wow, you have Led Zeppelin 3 too, or whatever, you know, which is your favorite album or song or whatever. So it was a jump-off point. You really can't do that in the digital realm. You can't grab someone's phone and paw through their iTunes and, oh, you like this song. So that was something that was I think is missed in our society, the ability to very easily share that sort of experience. You know, when it comes down to people, there are a lot of new people getting into vinyl, Young folks, I dare to use the word hipster, but you know, there are a lot of people out there who are revisiting it because there's an ironic element to it. It's kind of weird and freaky and cool. But I think there's also a lot of older guys like myself that are, you know, we've got a little bit of money now, or we're, you know, or we don't give a damn about saving. And then, you know, we want that magic that we had as in our youth. And it's important to us. And
well, that's what I was going to mention with youth, because another side issue for me is, you know, when you're young and you're listening to what's your music, and I don't know about you, Nate, but I used to always think, well, I'm never going to be like my parents and my grandparents. I'm never going to, you know, be old and crotchety and start looking forward at music and saying, oh, it's not as good as the old days. Mm-hmm. But then I think you find that you do look back at the music that defined you, your youth or your, you know, in your 20s and all that sort of stuff. And I guess for a lot of us, that was vinyl, you know, recordings, you know, because we weren't in the CD and that generation. And I wonder how much of that is of looking back at what defined, you know, as music defined your particular era.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, it's not just the music either. It's also the packaging. There are a lot of records that I had, you know, the gatefold sleeves. I had those when I was young. And I'll go into a record store and I'll find an album that, you know, I haven't seen in, you know, 30 plus years. I'll open it up and I'll see a picture inside the gatefold sleeve. And I'm immediately, you know, transferred back to, you know, when I was 15 years old with headphones on listening to this thing in a garage. So I think there's a lot to say about, you know, reminiscing and revisiting the youth and that sort of thing. I mean, a lot of guys spend their, you know, they do these, what do you call it, the midlife crises, where they buy the muscle car that they always wanted as a kid. This is a cheap way to have a midlife crisis.
And I mean, sharing it, when you mentioned before about going to someone's place, I mentioned to Brad, I think a couple of weeks ago, when we were talking about vinyl, and I said, my earliest memories as not going to, you know, just about to start high school, was mates and I getting, you know, Deep Purple albums and various other things, and we go around to someone's place and say, oh, we'll play some records. It sounds really, you know, ancient now. We go and play, and we'd sit as a group and we'd listen to and we'd argue about what was the best group, what was the best song and all the rest. But now, like when I was thinking yesterday, I was in Melbourne and I was sitting in Bourke Street, you know, having lunch, and I was watching everyone walking past. 90% of people, yes, they had, you know, an iPhone or something, and they had had buds and everything. But it was a solo endeavor. It was like they were listening to music on their own, even though there was lots of them doing it. They were all in their own little worlds listening to music, whereas vinyl, when you're youth, you had that opportunity of actually sitting with a group, whether it was a group of mates, and just, you know, talking trash or whatever about records and who was the best, you know, and just listening to stuff together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And you would educate one another. Here's what I think this song is about. Oh, you know what? I didn't get that. Let's hear it again. Oh, yep. Wow. You're right. Okay. They did say that. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I think is a reason. And now the Vinyl Guide podcast has really gotten very popular very quickly. And I think that there's a lot of people out there who it really enjoy vinyl, who are now revisiting it, who are getting back into it. Those people also drive, and since they don't have record players in their cars yet, the podcast is for that. So, you know, I always encourage folks to, you know, don't listen to this podcast when you're at home. That's your space for records. You know, take the vinylguide.com podcast when you're out, when you're running, or when you're in your car. That's the time for it. When you're at home, that's the social hour.
All right, yep. Let's jump onto some news, and Daryl will come back and have a chat with Nate about his podcast and his visit to Melbourne.
No problemo.
And before that, Jacob, I dug up that recording you want me to play, mate.
Go ahead and play it, Brian.
Here we go.
Just like Jacob Jones, listening all the way from Newberry in Florida, playing you some more.
This week's Tech Webcast News is brought to you by Furious Marketing. Need a new website for your business? Visit FuriousMarketing.com and mention the podcast to receive a discount. Now, back to you, Brad.
And back to some news for the day. So the first item is from Slash Gear, and it's PlayStation Now tipped for PC launch later this month. Sony has a game subscription service called PlayStation Now that allows PlayStation owners to play a bunch of games streamed over the internet. According to a new source that has cropped up, the company is planning to launch that game subscription service on PCs later this month, giving computer gamers the same massive roster of games for presumably the same $19.99 a month price that PlayStation owners pay. If you're unfamiliar with PlayStation Now, just think of it like Netflix, only you're browsing the streaming playable games instead of movies and TV shows. The service costs $19.99 a month when subscribers pay 1 month at a time and $44.99 every 3 months with a latter subscription option. You can see a full list of games available and there's a link to that on Slash Gear. So for all you gamers out there, particularly PlayStation gamers and that have PCs, this might be for you. The next story is from The Verge. Niantic is now permanently banning Pokemon Go cheaters. Game maker Niantic, the developer behind mobile sensation Pokemon Go, is now issuing permanent bans to players who violate its terms of service. Though TOS violations vary, these bans appear to be directed at cheaters who rely on GPS spoofing bots and other software techniques that allow Pokemon Go to be played beyond the realm of Niantic's design parameters. For instance, GPS spoofing lets you trick a smartphone into thinking you're located in a different country, allowing you to catch Pokemon that may be more easily located in that area or restricted to certain regions. Bots, on the other hand, let you automate portions of the game. So, and it goes on about different techniques and how to spoof things. So if you're using Pokemon Go, be aware that Niantic is watching you. And the next one is from...
I'm really interested in if someone's going to hack the Pokemon Go system to where they could start to make their own Pokemon out there for people to be able to find.
Well, it sort of reminds me, you know, a lot of this, you know, the modding communities and that, and how some games companies welcome it, and so that's fantastic. Like, you know, I'm a Skyrim fan, I had Skyrim on my Xbox, and I've started to use Skyrim on my notebook, and so that allows me to mod, and I've been, you know, playing around with housing mods and various things, and it just gives an old game a new lease of life. But yet there are other companies out there who frown on any sort of, you know, attempt to alter the game and will take you to court or what's it. So it's really interesting the different ways different gaming companies deal with that sort of thing. But yeah, right, I wonder how much a Pokemon mod will come out with, you know.
I mean, they're talking about so many kids out there finding Pokemon Go. You know how many more people they would have if people could introduce Angelina Jolie out there? You could actually run around and try to find. Yeah, that would be.
Then there might be the adult version of Pokemon Go. I mean, it's the one that the porn industry hasn't already started. Someone in there hasn't started working on the sort of the R-rated Pokemon Go experience. You know, for all you old, tired, sad guys out there, here it is, you know. The next one is from Tech Worm. That's an interesting name for a blog. Microsoft's U-Turn will support Skylake PCs on Windows 7 and 8.1. Microsoft backtracks after public outcry to provide support for Intel's 6th generation Skylake processor. Run Windows 7 or 8.1 PC laptops. After a tremendous public outrage over Microsoft's decision to exclude Skylake processor run Windows 7 and 8.1 from receiving security updates, Satya Nadella, Run Tech Giant, has now backtracked and said they will support Skylake PCs running on Windows 7 and 8.1. Users will remember that Microsoft announced back in January it will stop providing support and security fixes for all PCs running Intel's 6th generation Skylake processor. It has said at the time that those must upgrade to Windows 10 or risk not being supported. In fact, at the time, Microsoft have given 18-month deadline for Skylake processors run Windows 7.7 and 8.1 PC/laptop owners to upgrade to Windows 10 or lose support and risk their PCs. So it looks like people who are using Skylake processors and still want to stick to Windows 7 or 8.1, you won't be left out in the cold by Microsoft. And the last one is the Daily Dot. Spotify's newest channel is all about video games music. For gamers who want to listen to songs from their fave shooter or RPG, Spotify actually has a decent stock of video game soundtracks. Now it's amped up its selection by adding a new channel called Spotify Gaming, dedicated to music to hold a controller to. Yeah. The new channel is split into three sections: Spotify curated, original soundtracks and community playlist, playlists containing some stellar selections such as I Am Setsuna, the Last of Us, Mass Effect, and Grand Theft Auto. These are not all new additions, but it's terrific to have them in a spot where they're easy to browse. You can also look for soundtracks alphabetically. The Spotify curated section is aimed more at music to be played while gaming versus music from video game soundtracks. And community playlist is the most fun of the three, this is what the author says, probably because some of what's featured on it is made by people who work in the gaming industry. Check out the guest playlist from blog Polygon, Games Beat, and Games Radar. So there we have it. For those of you who love your gaming music and, you know, want to have it with you everywhere, Spotify might be the port of call. And that is the news.
Good news, Daryl and Jacob. Great for putting them news in, mate. Four news stories from you today. That's great.
Well
done, Jacob Jones. Jake, what's your view on them stories, mate, real quick?
Well, I tested out the video game music from Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good, but they're still adding stuff in. You refresh it, it's like there's about 50 new things popping up.
Okay. What else?
And the Microsoft U-turn got reallowing the Skylake, that's pretty good, because if they didn't, people would be bummed out with a lot of computers.
Okay.
Isn't it kind of sad, like, how Microsoft used to be the most powerful tech company out there, and now they're doing back in the day, Microsoft just made their own gravity. And if they said they were going to stop supporting something, by God, they stopped supporting it. And if people complained, they would just say, too bad, and punch their baby and walk off. And now it's like, okay, well, they make a decision, they get a bit of an outcry, and then they reverse that decision. Isn't that kind of weird, just 20 years ago, the difference?
It is very weird. Yeah, very weird.
I think with Microsoft, Microsoft are always in a no-win situation, because on one hand, they try to keep things supported long into, you know, back into the past and legacy issues, and then when they do try and say they do try and do an Apple, because Apple's very much that what you were saying, you know, Apple's will say we're not going to support this anymore, you know, it's too old, bang, that is it, you know, end of discussion. Microsoft, on one hand, were trying to support everything, and that meant they had a lot of legacy software and crap in Windows just to support old systems. Now they've tried to sort of do an Apple, and as you say, because perhaps they haven't got the clout they once did, people screamed about it, and now they're going, oh, sorry about that, we will let you have those. But although I think they were a bit harsh for 7 and 8.1 users, because the other issue is, if they had done that, there'd be a lot of people out there with unprotected computers, you know, open to the newest malware and all that, and that doesn't help anybody on the internet if those become bots and start spreading the good news.
Yeah, definitely. Jacob, any views on them stories, mate, before we go to Nate?
That's two, yes.
But what's that?
The Pokemon Go cheaters?
Yep.
I never liked that.
Yeah.
Play the game like it's supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
And the PlayStation Now? Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be pretty cool. Because now, once the Xbox update comes out, you'll be able to play both systems on your PC.
Cool.
Sorry, Mac. Charlie Mack people.
All right, that's cool. Nate, what's your view on them stories, mate? Any opinions?
No, I think I said my opinions throughout it.
Okay, cool.
You know what, though? One thing we didn't talk about is the census.
Oh, the census, yes.
Australia, yeah. I just did the census today because, you know, of course, now Jacob, you're in Florida, so maybe you weren't as aware. Here in Australia, we just tried to do our national census Tuesday, I think it was, and all the servers crashed. It was just people couldn't get in. It was a huge kerfuffle. And, you know, anyone who's ever tried to buy concert tickets online in Australia could have told you exactly what was going to happen. I have no idea who the census uses as their hosting provider, but, yeah, they need to do something different.
I think it was run through IBM. I think they had the rumor had it they had a multi-million dollar contract out with IBM to handle all their, you know, hardware and so yes, I think I apologize to IBM if I was wrong, but I did read that in an article in one of the newspapers as they were all going to sort of torch and burn the ABS.
You know who seems to have it, who knows how to run some hosting services is Netflix. You know, I mean, they could be a provider for bursty activity like this. They run, you know, was it 60% of video in the world? You know, this census would have been a no-brainer, no problem. It wouldn't have even done a flicker on their service on their servers. But yeah, whoever was hosting that really should be called on that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, those were all in tech, but I mean, you only have to think, yeah, you know, you've got, you know, one night basically when everyone's going to want to hook into a server, and if that's not going to send out messages to every script kiddie in the world that says let's do a DDoS on that right on that night, let's have some fun. So yeah, that would have been the tech guys at the ABS and their hosting providers, that would have been top of the list. How do we make sure that we have the capacity so that no one can DDoS us? You would have thought that would have been number one. And I'm not saying that because, it's happened, and I'm saying after the event, I would have thought that would have been. Because something as particular as a national census would be red lighted all over the place in the hacker and script kiddie community as a target.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right, interesting. Darryl, what's your view on them stories, mate?
Look, yeah, the Pokemon Go, I guess, I mean, when I said about modding, there's a difference between modding and actually cheating, where you actually cheat and game the system. So I think, you know, if people are actually gaming it, it does ruin the spirit of how it's being played. So I understand that. But it is an interesting how different companies deal with people out there, you know, looking at it to sort of mod it or change things. The PlayStation, that's great because, you know, Xbox will be being played on computers, so PlayStation needs to keep up with that so that people don't dump their PlayStations and buy Xboxes so they can play it on their PC. Mm. So I think that's a good move. And the Skylake one, well, basically I think it was a good move by Microsoft because we don't want people out there unprotected from malware and that because they can't get Microsoft updates, because it doesn't just affect them, it affects the rest of it because their computers end up being compromised and become part of botnets and various other things, and we end up getting damaged even when we're doing the right thing and keeping our stuff up to date. And I guess even for Spotify, if you're interested in gaming music and you love gaming music, well, there you go. Spotify's got you covered.
There you go, Darryl. Good job, mate. Good answer and, good stuff. Jacob, who is the guest today? We have on the guest on the podcast. Who's the guest, mate?
We have Nate on.
Nate from what? From where?
The Vinyl Guide.
That's it. The Vinyl Guide podcast. Welcome, Nate, to the podcast, mate.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Good to have you on the show, mate. Tell us about the podcast, and you did a trip to Melbourne not long ago.
Yeah. So I produce the vinylguide.com podcast. If you guys like records or record collecting, we are the podcast for fans and collectors of vinyl records. We talk all about these record collecting. We talk about the you know, the lifestyle around it. Like, we'll talk about accessories and different things that the vinyl collectors would want to have to help, like cleaners and that sort of thing. But we also talked to artists who were there when the record was being recorded. Like, we've had on the show, you know, some people who've been in Frank Zappa's band. We've had members of the Dead Kennedys. We've had Tesco V. I think in about a week or two, we're going to have Wayne Kramer of the MC5. So we've got a lot of artists and folks that were there and can help tell the stories behind the records. So we like to dive deep into that. So you could always find us at thevinylguide.com. Of course, we're available on iTunes as well if you want to search The Vinyl Guide. And then we've got a YouTube channel as well where we're starting to do a lot of videos of record shops around the world. Nice. And I just did a big trip to Japan, went through Singapore, China as well, looking at different record stores there. So, you know, if you are interested in what record shops are like around the world, you could visit our YouTube channel or go to Facebook, facebook.com/vinylguide, and, you know, like us there, and then you'll always get the latest updates.
Good stuff. And also, you came to Melbourne and checked out some record places in Melbourne here not long ago, Nate.
I did. I had a great time there. We did a couple of episodes on the podcast or visit in Melbourne. Hit a lot of great shops, the ones that you guys probably frequent quite a bit down there. Heartland Records, of course, we talked about Northside as well. Yep, There's Wax Museum. Really, I found Melbourne to be a brilliant and vibrant culture and teeming with record shops, which is always a good sign.
Good stuff. Jacob, any questions for Nate?
When did you start collecting and getting into vinyl?
Well, I started as a real little kid. I was 2 and 3 years old when I started getting records, and it was a very important ritual my father and I had. I've got there's no mistake of where I caught the vinyl bug. When I was young, my dad used to take me to a record shop, and we'd buy a 7-inch 45 every week. And that was, you know, that left a huge imprint on me. And that's when I started collecting vinyl. Now, these days, I have a sizable collection. I don't go too crazy. It's less than 2,000. And I don't want it to get much bigger, just simply because it's, you know, I don't have the time, and, you know, I want to be able to play the records. I don't want my house to be a museum. I want it to be, I want to be able to enjoy it. I don't like keeping vinyl sealed. I like it out and being played. So any more records than I have right now, even right now, it's a little bit much. I can't get around to them all. I can't show them all the respect they deserve. So I want to have a real tight, you know, probably 1,200 records, and just keep that collection nice and curated.
Awesome. And how long has the podcast been around for?
Doing it about a year. We've got a huge backlog of episodes. On our show, it's got a real long tail. Each episode, episodes that we uploaded last year are still being accessed quite a bit. We try to make it the podcast non-time specific, so we don't really talk about new releases and that sort of thing, because, you know, within a few weeks that is old news, and so we try to keep it very general, more like a documentary. Okay. On a lot of these records, and we do a by looking at, you know, who's accessing, we can tell that people discover this podcast all the time, and they start going back through all the old episodes. So even our first episodes are still being, you know, accessed to and, you know, three new users, you know, every day, even just grabbing those and moving on. When people discover the podcast, you can see the trend right away. They discover it, and then all of a sudden they just start binge listening to all the episodes. So it's a great honor, and we continue to plan to keep doing it.
Awesome. And where do you do it from your home or a studio, or where do you record the podcast from?
Yeah, various places. You know, when I travel, I'll take a remote gear with me, and sometimes I'll do them in a hotel. Sometimes I'll do it if I'm around the house. I'll do them in the house. My equipment's fairly mobile, so it really doesn't matter where I'm at, as long as it doesn't have a harsh echo wherever I'm at. Then it's fine.
Tell us about the shop. Now, there's a shop in Paran you went to called Gravel Records.
Yes,
that was an awesome interview you did with Steve. I love that interview, especially the people that came into the shop, the Beastie Boys and them sort of people. That was an awesome interview.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, do you know Steve over at Gravel?
I do. Yeah, I know him. Yeah, yeah, yep.
Yeah, he is a hell of a character. And yeah, if people are interested in hearing what we're talking about, yeah, if you go to thevinylguide.com, in the episodes, I think it's probably about 6 weeks ago, we did a two-parter for Melbourne, and I think he's in the second part. He is just this remarkable character, and he's been working at Gravel Records for, I believe, 20-something years. He's been there a long time.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
And yeah, we talk to record shops, you know, we'll ask them, you know, what famous people have been in here? You ever had a Beatle or a Rolling Stone in here? You know, tell us about the history of the shop and how. And they have a list of the I've never seen a shop this organized. They actually have a list of all the people who have shopped there before. And wow. And they've had Metallica in there and Monster Magnet and the Beastie Boys. And, you know, he was telling different stories about Radiohead. And, you know, look, musicians come to towns and they're touring. They need something to do during the day.
Yep.
You know, a lot of them do find themselves in record shops. And so, you know, it's a. Yeah. Gravel Records, brilliant shop in Paran. If anyone in Melbourne, you know, is just starting on their record journey, that's a fascinating place to start. Go there, and they've got records, you know, the high-end records, which are probably some ways off, but they've got a lot of good advice for people who are just starting off as well.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Darryl, what's your view on all this, mate? Have you got any opinions or questions?
Look, great. It's I think I've sort of mastered, but I just think it's really interesting to see where it will go, you know, and whether it'll burst out of the sort of, as you say, it's always been there, but maybe now it's becoming more prominent and will, you know, and will independent musicians decide, rather than digital subscriptions and various other things, will independent musicians decide to start going back into pressing vinyl?
Well, I think a lot of them are, you know. I think if you go to see a band these days, you know, in a pub quite often, you know, there's always the CDs. You know, I think they've been there, and they will continue to be there, because they're a cheap and easy way to be able to distribute your music. I mean, everyone who's got a CD-ROM burner can knock a few out before a gig. But it's a lot of bands are starting to do these limited pressings and colored pressings and different things that are collectible for the people who are interested. And I tell you, if I go see a live band, and not just because I'm into vinyl, but if I go see a live band and they have a CD, you know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'll buy the CD just to support the band. Not that I'll use the CD, though. But when I get a record, if they have a record for sale, I'm delighted, because that, to me, is much more personal than something that was kind of, you know, burned through, you know, or pressed out. To me, vinyl is much more of a personal experience and a connection with the band. I don't know why. There's not a whole lot of logic. But your question about it being, is it a bubble? Is vinyl a bubble? And you know, are we getting near the top of it, and will the bottom drop out at some point? I don't think so. I think it's building, and will there be a correction? Yeah, sure. It's not always. There's going to be a point in time where there's going to be, you know, the interest in vinyl will start to plateau or maybe even decline a bit. But I think there's still the charm of records, and there'll still be the collectors, and just like there always were. We just didn't hear about them that much. I do think at some point technology is going to come into it. I think, you know, it's not too much of a stretch to think in 5 or 10 years, we may be using 3D printers to be able to print our own vinyl, instead of relying on distributors to, you know, to bring us, you know, the new Katy Perry record. You know, we may be able to just download some sort of protected file and print a 3D copy in our own homes.
Yeah.
But I do think the format of vinyl will continue to live on, because it's just so damn cool.
Definitely. So Nate, who's your favorite Australian artist at the moment on vinyl? You've been listening to any Australian music you like to listen to?
I like there's a band in Sydney, Raindrop.
Okay.
They, you know, surprise, surprise, also have some vinyl. Yeah, I really dig those guys. I think I'm on Instagram, Raindrop Band. But yeah, I really enjoy that. It's one of the records that I put on, and a friend of mine turned me on to it. I put it on, and then my wife and I, both our ears perked up, and we really enjoyed it. And that record stayed on our turntable for probably, you know, 2 or 3 days. We just kept flipping it and playing it over and over again. So yeah, awesome. Check those guys out.
We'll do. And what about the Avalanche? Do you know a band called the Avalanches?
You know what? I've seen the hype around a release that they've just recently done, but I don't quite understand it.
Check it out, mate. 16. It's been 16 years since they put out another album, mate, and it's just so good to hear. You should check it out. Get it. Just go and buy it. Yep. It's awesome.
Is it worth the hype?
Yes, it is.
Sometimes bands come out and it disappoints, but one doesn't.
Sounds great, mate. Sounds awesome. Yeah. Sounds fantastic. Yeah.
I'll definitely check it out. Thanks for the recommendation.
Good stuff. Jacob, any more questions before we wrap up the podcast, mate?
No.
All right. Well, where can they get hold of you, Nate, if they want to ask any more questions for you, mate?
Oh, go to thevinylguide.com. Yep. And you know, subscribe. You could listen to an episode right there. There's contact right there. My email is nate@thevinylguide.com. I think probably a great way I'm starting to kind of move towards it a little bit more is our Facebook page. It's starting to get more and more traction. So facebook.com/vinylguide.
Good stuff. And also, Jacob's got a question for you after the podcast too.
Yeah?
Regarding something, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So you hang around just for 2 minutes.
I will.
And please do.
Darryl, I'm intrigued.
You will be. Darryl, what about you, mate?
No, they can catch me at Twitter at Learnscape. As I say, I'm still using the Google Plus, the long-running tech webcast gag. I'm still on Google Plus.
You're the guy.
I'm the guy that Google want to get rid of so they can switch the lights off. they keep sort of emailing me and say, would you get out? And I keep saying, no, I'm not the guy at the party. I'm the last one. Everyone wants to go to bed. And I'm, you know, sitting on the sofa with my arms folded saying, I'm not going anywhere. But no, Google Plus at Darryl Hunt, plus Darryl Hunt. But Twitter, I'm on as at Learnscape.
And you can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozen at Tech Webcast. Jake, what are you? Jazzbot32669 on Twitter?
It's Jazzbot32669 1Z.
And Darryl, you want to mention the Patreon real quick and just...
It's Brad's... I've got a frog in my throat. Brad set up a Patreon account this week so that if anybody out there who's a regular listener to Tech Webcast, or maybe you've just found Tech Webcast this week and want to support Tech Webcast, you can go to patreon.com/Tech Webcast. Take a look at the Tech Webcast page there. And if you can, we would greatly appreciate your patronage on Patreon.
Definitely.
That's basically what it is. If you're listening and if you've got no idea what Patreon is, you can pledge, you know, an amount of money per month, so like $1, $2, $4 per month, and it helps with things like paying for our service providers and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And so if you can do that, that would be fantastic.
And you can also, can you do it like once a month and then you can cancel it right after the month?
You can if you do it for a month or a few months and you think, you know, my budget's
you're
not gonna...
a cheap bastard. You're gonna be like, come on guys, empty it out, bring a 20. You guys listening, especially those of you who have lasted this long and listened all the way, you know you love it. Just come on, bust it out. This is clearly worth it. You get entertained once a week. Don't be a cheapskate. I want to see $5 and $10 pledges from now on from you guys. All right.
Yeah, that's what Nate said.
If
you do start using Patreon and you find for whatever reason that your budget's no longer, you can cancel. It's not like you're forced to forever. But it means that if everyone puts in a few, you know, don't like you don't have to. As I say, it can be, you know, up $10, $5, $20, $2, $4. Enough of it, do that, then the podcast covers it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because we got bill. I got to pay for the web hosting. The
there's all those sorts of things.
That sort of
so
stuff.
And a lot of people who consume podcasts understandably don't realize that, you know, it's a free, you know, podcasting are always free to listen to. And so it's just a matter of that there are associated costs in creating the content, and that just helps make sure your favorite podcast can continue.
Exactly. Next week on the podcast, Daryl, who's on next week? Let me just check. You're next week.
You're asking me?
Yeah, I was asking you, but I'll check. Let me just check.
Yes.
We have Andy Walker on next week.
Cool.
And his wife's going to be home talking about his new book.
Excellent.
New book that he's put out. It sounds pretty good. All right,
so we're going from vinyl to books. Yeah, so that's books. Interesting. In vinyl to books.
Next, the week after will be Sanskrit. So.
Yeah,
it'll be
parchment and... Moses and the tablet.
That's it. All right. Thanks, Nate, for being on, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Nate.
Hey, keep up the good work, guys.
You're a legend, mate. You're a legend. Thank you.
Cheers.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah. Tech webcast. Tech webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer.